morning.
Morning.
Jesus reveals to us that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him, John 14:6. Jesus is the bridge between us and our Heavenly Father, who loves each one of us more than we can comprehend. Our reading in John chapter 3 records part of the conversation Jesus had with the Pharisee Nicodemus about the nature and intensity of God's love for us. Our reading is John 3:16 through 17. I'd better not mess this up. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Will you please join me in prayer? Our gracious Lord God, we thank you for the gift and power and work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. And we ask that you would work to open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes to what it is that you have to say to us today. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to be seated. I always enjoy children's messages where the kids just make it happen, right? Beautiful, beautiful. And that whole idea of memorizing, I want to encourage you that in that for yourself. And you don't have to start big. You don't have to start with whole chapters of the Bible or something, but just a few verses, because it really does become part of our heart and part of our mind when we commit those things to memory. So, the grand plan, and there's a basic question here today. You know, we're looking at the world still torn, Savior born, and everything's pointing to Jesus. And the fundamental question comes up is, why Jesus? Why Jesus? Why did God's grand plan and all the Old Testament promises and covenants all point to Jesus? Well, I'm not sure why I put why did God's plan, because the answer, you know, why did God's plan do that? Because it did. I mean, that is God's plan from the very beginning, and it helps us so much. Sometimes it's very confusing to read the Old Testament, but as we get to know it better, it's driving, it's pushing, it's pointing to Jesus. Martin Luther had a great illustration, I thought, that and it's that the Bible is the cradle that brings us Jesus of Nazareth. In other words, when you open that Bible, what do we see? We see Jesus, even in these, you know, and all of that we've been looking at, all these covenants, the covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and you know, that was fulfilled all through that time and was beginning to be fulfilled, I should say, it all culminates in Jesus, in the manger. And it's almost impossible, really, to understand what's going on in Bethlehem, on Christmas Day, without understanding what's happened in the Old Testament and what has been driving God's grand plan. So we're going to take a look at three different things, but I want to start with a passage from Colossians, because we're getting back. Remember, the Bible's a cradle that brings us Jesus of Nazareth. I think Paul sums up so much in this passage in Colossians chapter 1, a part of verse 16 and into 17, where he says this: all things, and I added a little parenthesis here, including us, have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Okay, let me say that again. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Did that include in the Old Testament? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's certainly, as we see Jesus coming in the flesh in Bethlehem, it's there and it's today. When we say, well, the world's falling apart, okay, what can we look at? Paul says, you know what? That was a thought in that day as well, in his day. But we can look and we can say, you know what? Even as bad as things may seem at times for us, all things were created through Jesus and for him. And he's the one that's actually holding anything together. And so 3 points I want to get to today under the why Jesus category. And the first point is that we were created to love and to be loved. So it's all about relationships. The second one is, and these are all related, the second point is that we were made for a purpose. And you might imagine and guess correctly here that this is all connected into our relationship with Jesus. Made for a purpose, and he, Jesus, is the foundation for all that is good in the world. So let's go back to that first one. Why Jesus and relationships. We were created to love and to be loved. We were created through him and for him. It's no accident that when he's asked that Jesus repeat, this is out of the Old Testament, he said, what's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. That's what we're created for. The commandment is there not to simply correct and corral us. It's to say, this is your purpose in life. And sometimes we think, oh, okay, I gotta love. Like it's a burden. What Jesus is saying is, no, it's part of who you are. It's foundational to our very being as human beings to be in relationship with God. So this commandment is pushing us, it's driving us, it's outlining this, saying this is who you were made to be, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. So we're created to love, and we also have that other commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself, but Jesus, we're going to see, ups the ante, and he says, no, I want you, the nature of our design is to love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another with that sacrificial, difficult, almost impossible level of love that Jesus has for us. That's our design. That's how God designed us. But you notice the second part of that is we're not only created to love, but we're created to be loved. You know, our command is to love one another as Christ has loved. Well, and here's the thing. How can we experience love if somebody's not loving us? Okay? And I'm not talking about necessarily love in marriage, but it can be the love of strangers. It can be the kindness. It can be that self-sacrificial love. And I'm saying this because part of God's call to you, part of God's design to you, is that you love the people around you, and some of them, and even the ones you don't necessarily even know. Because as they are loved, that other person is loved, they are experiencing part of God's plan and design for us. And of course, I don't know about you, but I typically mess that up, that part. But the good news is God doesn't mess his part up. So I may mess up the loving others, but we go back to John 3:16 to the one who's perfect at this. And so let's take a look at that. For God so loved the world. And I'm going to paraphrase this just a little. For God so loved you. He so loved you. In his perfect love that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that next verse, so like it. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. To save the world through him. And so as we look at this relationship, you know, we shared this in the reading just a few minutes ago, but in John 14:6, he's speaking to his disciples, and he's explaining something very basic. Basic about who we are as human beings. And I want you to be thinking of Jesus in that manger. I want you to be thinking of Jesus walking with his disciples, Jesus washing his disciples' feet and sharing the Last Supper. I want you to be thinking of Jesus on the cross, and I want you to be thinking of Jesus there with his disciples after the resurrection, saying, peace be with you. And he says this to them. This is just before his crucifixion. He says, I am the way. Notice he doesn't say a way. He says the way. If you want to know the true nature of your humanity, the true nature of this world, the only way you're going to understand completely, or even have a chance at understanding and experiencing the fundamental truth of the universe, is if you understand that I am the way. And he's not trying to say necessarily that, oh, well, don't even look at those other ways. You know, because, you know, there's a lot of philosophy there that's helpful and good, and other writings that are very helpful and good. But he said, fundamentally, I am that way. And, of course, then he says, I am the what? Truth. I've used the example of BTUs, not British Thermal Units, but basic truths of the universe. And Jesus is the BTU. He is the basic truth of the universe. That's what he's saying is, you want to know what truth is? Then watch me. Look at me. Look what I do. Look what I say. Look at what I say. Look at the healings. And, you know, Jesus, in his very first sermon in the Gospel of Mark, he says, repent and believe. The kingdom of God has come near. In other words, you want to know what the kingdom of God looks like? Watch me. Because I am the embodiment of that. And so, and then he says, I'm the life. And all he's saying to us is, look, if you want life, I am the source of life. All things were created for me and through me. All right? And I hold it all together. So you want life, come to me. When he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest, he said, and I will give you life. An understanding of life, a fulfillment of your life. And the final part of this, and he says, no one will come to the Father except through me. He's saying, you can look all you want at these other things, and it will never lead you home. And we're going to come back to this next point, but I just want to point it out here about relationships and the cost of love. The fact is, love is hard work. It's extremely hard work. And if you don't think it's hard work, then you're not considering the nature of God's love for you. Was it hard? And when I say hard work, think of Jesus coming down, emptying himself. I mean, in Philippians 2, we hear that Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born. Here's God Almighty, through whom all things were made, coming on Christmas, right? Being born as a humble baby. He emptied himself. Think of all that Jesus went through in his life. The ridicule, the trouble, the living on the edge, really all the time. Traveling from place to place to place to place. Putting up with us. Putting up with Peter and all the others. But finally going to Gethsemane, going to be put on trial, to be whipped, scourged, suffering, going to the cross. That was God's hard work of love for us. Okay. So let's get to the purpose, and this is all related to our purpose, so let's get to that. Because why, Jesus? We were created to love and be loved in relationships, but we were all also made for a purpose. Many years ago, I think it was 1994 or so, Rick Warren wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. And really, we should probably get a whole new generation into this one, because a lot of you were either small children at that time or not even born. So I'm curious, and this is going to age you out here. How many of you did Purpose-Driven Life years ago? So if you see somebody around you, ask them about it. It is wonderful. But Rick Warren said this about purpose. Everyone's life is driven by something. Everyone's life is driven by something. And as we think of Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, what he's saying is, I want your life to be driven by me. I want to be that goal in your life. I want you to look at the manger and I want you to say, I want part of that. I want to be part of that. And I want to be part of your mission on earth. Instead of being driven by this. And sometimes this is the form of confession. Sometimes we have to say, Lord, I have been my purpose. I've been driven by this and this and this, or I'm currently being driven by these things and not driven by you. And the second little quote I want to share with him is that life is about letting God use you for his purposes, not using him for your own purposes. That's a little twist there, but it's basically saying that so often we say, well, God, I'm doing this, and I sure like you to join me in all of that. Please, God. It's almost like, come on, God. Come along with me. And God says, no, I'm calling you to my purpose. My purpose. And part of that purpose, and going back to that love is hard work theme, when Jesus was with his disciples, one of the things, and this is recorded beautifully in the Gospel of John, and he says, Jesus is saying to them, this is the nature of hard work. He says, he washes his disciples' feet, and just a very quick history lesson here. No Jewish person would ever wash another Jewish person's feet. Not even a Jewish servant. If you had a Jewish servant in your home, if you were a Jewish family, somebody else would wash feet. It would have to be a Gentile, okay? Because, the whole washing feet thing, we get uncomfortable with it, but picture this, hill country in August, no paved roads, walking in sandals everywhere. How many of you would like your feet washed, all right? Or at least have a chance to dip them in some cold water. So they would go into a home, and you might have a bowl there, and you might do it yourself, or you might have a Gentile servant wash your feet. Jesus, who was a Jew, gets down with his disciples, gets down in front of them. And Peter had confessed that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the Messiah. Can you imagine Peter's discomfort and actually kind of the horror of the disciples when Jesus, their master and teacher, their rabbi, kneels down in front, starts washing their feet, and Jesus is saying, this is the cost of love. This is the nature of love, to empty yourself, to do those things that that the world says is beneath you. This is the nature of it. And he says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. And here, notice the little tagline here. You will be blessed if you do them, if you do these things. Because this is the nature of love. This is how you can show your love for other human beings, by doing those things, that hard work. And I, as you do that, you will grow in your relationship with me. I've talked to people that they say, well, Pastor, I really want to grow in my discipleship. And we'll talk through, okay, are you praying? Are you doing your devotions? Are you doing your Bible study? Are you, are you giving in a meaningful way? And they'll say, yeah. I said, are you serving in a way like what Jesus is talking about? Well, no. I said, well, if you want to encounter Jesus, he said, I was hungry and you fed who? Me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And when the followers said, when did we do that? He said, when you did it for one of the least of these, you did it to me. When you washed their feet, you were encountering me. You were growing. You were growing in your relationship with me and your understanding of who I am. You're growing in your understanding of the baby in the manger, of Jesus, God incarnate. And related to this, and this is Jesus wrapping up that passage, is from John 13:34, when he says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another in the same way that I've loved you. In fact, I'm going to the cross. That's why it says, take up your cross daily and follow me. He says, that's it. You must do this. And finally, third point. So why were we were created to love and be loved? We were made for a purpose. And the third is Jesus is the foundation of all that's good in the world. He's the foundation for love, grace, forgiveness, honor, goodness, integrity, justice, mercy, and the innate value of human life. When we look at what Jesus did, you look at how God valued humanity. I will say that the rest of the world has a really tough case making a case for justice based on their philosophies, if it's not Christian. They really have a tough time with it. If it's simple, just worldly philosophy, they may say that justice is important, but they don't have a foundation for it. Or it's very difficult for them to build that foundation. But we have it here, and we can see it throughout all of Scripture, that it's part of God's plan, that this is part of who we are. And as we... as we get back to the manger, the baby Jesus in the manger is God incarnate, embodied. And he's called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Jesus born in Bethlehem is the beginning point for the profound value of human life and your value. It's part of God's plan that he would come. It's part of God's healing plan so that the world could know and experience love and grace and forgiveness and honor and goodness and integrity and justice and mercy and the innate value of human life. That's why Jesus says, I'm the way, truth, and life. I am that passage. that way. So for God so loved the world, for God so loved you, and that's a message we bring for all people, for all humanity. They need to know it, and we need to be reminded of it. Would you please join me in prayer? Lord God, we are grateful that you are the foundation for all that is good in this world. Bless us as we go our way. Bless us as we celebrate you and your goodness. And we're so grateful that we were made to love and be loved, that we were made for a purpose. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.